Shalom ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day. I'm based בראש חודש אדר, תשע"ה, פרשת תרומה, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 19 February 2015, webcasting from the linchpin or keystone of the Ark of Civilization. A mini confession. Last webcast, I dwelt at length over the disappointingly shallow views of Tony Blair, friend of Israel, still hopelessly enmeshed in the mendacious lies about the violence against us, and I was not happy with my work because, in truth, I analyzed him at length in part to not have to face talking about two news stories 2 days ago. You know, you report on the program as long as I have, and it endangers you, I think, to a kind of a post-traumatic stress syndrome for having to deal day in and day out with such stories as those two. The one mentioned only fleetingly had to do with the beheading of those 25 Egyptian Christians who are direct descendants of the ancient Egyptians under the pharaohs, whose Coptic language descends from hieroglyphics, and that's the people who were beheaded for descending from those Coptic Christians. The Christian community in Egypt was hundreds of years old when in the year 640 of the Common Era, the country was overrun by Arabs, armed with the ravings of Muhammad, founder of Islam, who preached beheading the enemies of God. Muslims to this day smile when thinking of, for example, the slaughter of the Jews at the Khaybar Oasis, when Muhammad presided over the beheading of 800 Jewish men. 800, not 25, but the purpose was the same. Islam is turning out to be the greatest totalitarian system in human history. France's revolutionary guillotines chopped off thousands of heads, but at least that was a passing episode in French history. Christians in centuries after centuries also routinely slaughtered Jews in various ways, but that too, as a behavior, has slipped from the world. Nazi Germany, communist Russia have also come and gone, yet Islam survives and marches on with its savage behaviors. Many of these people are as barbaric as their ancestors were millennia in the past. When the Muslims invaded Egypt, they imposed Islam on the Egyptians, not only the Quran, but the Arabic language as well. Still, yours truly, having traveled in Egypt and Arab lands, I can say the Egyptians remain a distinctive people, with their distinctive accent and disposition. They're friendlier and warmer than Arabs, with a sense of humor that is absent in Arab lands. Indeed, there are Egyptians who resent being called Arabs. In the Arab world, there are movie theaters showing Arabic language films, and the Hollywood of the Arab world is Cairo, where the industry is located. In Saudi Arabia, by contrast, there's no such industry. And here were these innocent men decapitated for not believing in Muhammad as the final prophet, who's the final one in a chain starting with Adam and Noah and Abraham, Saul, David, Solomon, Ezra, Jesus. Muhammad is the last and greatest of these prophets, and anyone who does not believe that deserves to have his head chopped off. So that was one story, the latest in an endless train of grisly and gruesome tales out of Araby. And the other one here was here related to this one. It got far less attention on the world stage. This was the death of Adel Biton, age 4, who at age 2, you may remember, was riding in the family car in the Shomron when an Arab Muslim threw rocks at the car that her mother was driving, which resulted in a major head injury to this adorable 2-year-old girl and shattered her head and her brain. Only her family knows how much of her was left crippled these last 2 years. Well, she got sick and died. The latest Jewish victim of barbaric, guilty Muslims incapable of human empathy, who also shriek at the injustice that we allegedly do to them. Such an adorable little girl, judging by her picture, who died on Tuesday and was buried yesterday by her shattered mother and family and hundreds of friends. You know, I almost never hate Arabs, because I see them as such pathetic losers. They're wild asses of men, controlled by their animal-like feelings. Normally, the people I do hate are those who should know better, fellow Jews and Europeans who play defense attorney for these brutes, who have never stopped in a century plus of restoring the land here, murdering us and causing us such heartache as the wounding and death of little Adele. But with stories like the wounding of this little girl and her passing, I make an exception. In moments like this, I hate these bastards. What evil they represent in the world, that they perpetrate in the world, not the least of which is their evil words, the words they speak, the lies they speak, the ridiculous mental world in which, you know, the Jews were behind 9/11. And if you can believe it, on the very day little Adele left this world, a Muslim invitee to the White House was at the White House and tweeted a picture of himself next to Vice President Biden. Presumably the two of them smiling. This man is Salem al-Mariati, who, according to Steve Emerson's investigative project, gave an interview shortly after 9/11 saying, quote, "If we are going to look for suspects, we should look to the groups that benefit the most from these kinds of incidents. And I think we should put the State of Israel on the suspect list because I think it diverts attention from what's happening in the Palestinian territories so that they can go on with their aggression and occupation and apartheid policies." This character is the head of MPAC, the Muslim Public Affairs Council, a name surely plagiarizing APAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, which is reminiscent of the Arab-American Anti-Discrimination Committee, which rips off the ADL, the Jewish Anti-Discrimination League, headed by Abe Foxman. Here was Salem al-Mariati saying exactly what 60% of the Arabs polled after 9/11 said. Presumably, al-Mariati, though, is head and shoulders over the vast sea of illiterates in Arabic, but when it comes to guilt, they're all the same. They have no capacity for it. When someone points the finger of responsibility for something terrible at them, they commonly neither deny it or try to explain it away. What they do is accuse the accuser of the same crime. Here was the soulmate of Holocaust deniers, a 9/11 truther blaming the Jews after 9/11, in the White House on Tuesday, being chummy with the vice president. What the hell is going on here? This would be like having David Irving as an invited guest, or David Duke of the KKK. And why was this al-Mariati there? To participate in the, quote, White House summit on countering violent extremism. And I ask, what summit? Summit meetings used to refer to the meetings between national leaders, each at the summit of his own nation state. Today, though, I imagine that is these 3 days of meetings and eating and sleeping in fine hotels, all expenses paid by the U.S. taxpayers. The attendees were mostly Muslim members of NGOs like CAIR Care, all of them basically agents of foreign powers who finance them. Finance them to prepare America for Islam to penetrate and spread as it's spreading in Europe. For sure, Barack Hussein has been selling Islam to the American people since his first inaugural address, in which he spoke of a new beginning between Americans and Islam, and never mind presidents deal with nation states and not religions. Early in his term, he oversaw the dismantling of the U.S. space program, charging the head of NASA instead to tell Muslims not to belittle themselves so much for their backwardness in science and technology. That was the job of NASA under this president. And that's what's going on in Washington today, and yesterday, and the day before. Once again, there was Barack Obama explaining Islam to Americans instead of defending Americans from Islam, starting with this insane title, Countering Violent Extremism, which he was at pains to explain, not exclusively the property of his fellow Mohammedans. Caught a few minutes of his closing speech today, which follows upon his initial nonsense, but I had to turn it off because I couldn't stand it and the weirdness of it all. There he was in this auditorium, you know, with the backdrop wall, sky blue, with white lettering, White House Summit on Countering Violent Extremism. but this was no summit. How weird, and what, pray tell, is violent extremism? Extremism about what? So I turned it off, and I could be wrong, but I think more or less, he said, Jews and Buddhists and others engaged in the same behavior as Muslims were implied as much. This man had the USA parliamentary system, would have been, you know, removed from office. His government would have fallen within 24 hours after a crack like that. But it's not going to happen. This lunatic remains on his perch. That was his second version of Psalm 23 on his fourth album. Very different from his first version on the first album. And I think for the remaining two selections this evening, I'll put in Psalm 23 by Aki Bayov and Psalm 23 by Yosef Kartuner. So what is it with these Muslims, these Arabs, for whom there is no steady state reality, only tall tales about the past one makes up in the present in order to survive the present? Take, for example, a memory.org posting yesterday about an imam at the Al-Farouk Mosque in Copenhagen. In a Friday sermon the day before the terror attacks, he opposed interfaith dialogue. Haji Said, his name is, and why? Because the Prophet waged war against his Jewish neighbors in Medina rather than engage in dialogue with them. Medina, by the way, the second holiest Muslim city, is the name that came after the takeover. Before then, it was Yathrib, whose dominant prosperous community was the Jewish one. And the conquest by Muhammad and his friends was a kind of foreshadowing of the entire Muslim project. Steal from the Jews, take over their property, and make it your own. And because Muhammad in Medina, which, by the way, is another plagiarized Hebrew word, which in Hebrew means state, in Arabic it means city, because he refused to engage in civilized discussion with the Jews, Muhammad, neither would this imam. He said, quote, "The people responsible for interfaith dialogue want to make all religions equal. They want to equate truth and falsehood, between heresy and deceit, between the religion of the Prophet Muhammad and man-made laws legislated by the criminals in order to rule the world. Do we Muslims want the United Nations to create charity projects for us? The United Nations and its predecessor, the League of Nations, were established in order to fight Islam, to destroy the state of Islam, and to draw the Muslims away from their religion. Interfaith dialogue is a malignant idea of which we must be aware in order to avoid falling into the traps of Satan and his followers," close quote. This is the head of the main mosque in Copenhagen, speaking, capital of a people famous for its civilized life. And here's another one, another post from the Investigative Project, another Muslim mind on display, on the loose, really. This one belongs to the director of CAIR, C-A-I-R, that Council on American-Israel Relations in Los Angeles, one Hussam Ailush, speaking about a month ago at the Islamic Center of Orange County and of the administration's plans in Washington to counter violent extremism. He said he resented the focus placed on the Muslim community. Quote, "You know, you don't hear about countering violent extremism to deal with the thousands of Jewish American kids who joined the Israeli army to kill the people of Gaza. When was the last time the Department of Homeland Security or the FBI approached the Jewish community to ask them to deal with this trend? Actually, there are many more Jewish Americans who have joined the Israeli army than there are Muslim Americans who joined ISIS. So let's talk about Jewish American kids who joined the Jewish state before we talk about Muslim Americans who joined the Islamic State. Neither one represents Judaism or Islam," close quote. The implication here of moral equivalence between Israeli soldiers and the head choppers in ISIS, the kid nappers in ISIS, the rapists, the enslavers, the torturers in that cult, is simply demented. It is reminiscent of that Arab journalist on MSNBC a couple of weeks ago who said that the famous American sniper Chris Kyle went on killing sprees, which shocked even the liberal host Joe Scarborough, who was shocked by the lie. A sniper is the exact opposite of a guy on a killing spree. That's something Muslims love to do, like those devils in that shul in Harnof. You know, the random massacre of people just because they are Jews. A military sniper, by contrast, is the antithesis of a Muslim maniac on a tear. He carefully selects a target to take down because that target, that individual, is a threat. This is the opposite of random slaughter, and mind you, the comparison came out of the mouth of an Arab who on the surface on this TV program, speaking flawless, unaccented American English, educated in the United States, one would think that he would think like an American, but apparently not. These Arabs seem to have no categories of volition. Just last week in the Weekly Parsha, we read of the difference between intentional and unintentional manslaughter. For these barbarians, however, all that matters is that one of your own was hit so that there is justice in going into the hypercacher in Paris and killing Jews at random because some Jews killed some Muslims in Gaza. This, then, is the locus of the clash between us Jews and our Muslim neighbors. This difference in moral and ethical perception. And it's a major reason why peace can only come when Muslims accept our right to live in our own society by our own lights, not theirs. Israel must be recognized as the rightful homeland of the Jewish people, who have the right to live and think as they choose, and the Arabs are completely excluded in this territory as not residents, but decisors, precisely because of the way they think about things, which is so alien to the way people in Judeo-Christian civilization think about things. So I say to them, Geh Gesundheit, that's Yiddish for go in good health, go you Arabs, go you Muslims, live among your own, and leave us alone with your fractured minds, brains, and souls.
Mama, 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 mama.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. I think maybe one good thing to come out of this week's White House summit on countering violent extremism, even though no one in the world identifies as a violent extremist, is the increasing recognition by many people that Barack Hussein Obama is not playing with a full deck, exactly like a Muslim. In order to get what you desire, you can say anything and make up any story to reach your goal. Truth, logic, intellectual honesty are unimportant. Obama said yesterday, and not for the first time, that the U.S. is not at war with Islam. Whoever said it was. This is a straw man, a phantom straw man, that he has in his thinking, which gives rise to an imaginary situation which appears to be an effort by him to persuade the head choppers to desist because they think, or he thinks they think, that the U.S. has declared war on Islam. And surely major evidence for that is, in their minds, our support, America's support, that is, of Israel and the West. They experience the existence of Israel as an insult to Islam, an aggression that stripped Islam of its rule over Haram al-Sharif in al-Quds, and that's why they act the way they do. Obama also said that the violent extremists in Islam portray themselves as holy warriors in defense of Islam, which he says is a lie. They're not religious leaders, he said. They're terrorists. We're not at war with Islam, but people who have perverted Islam, he said. And what I want to know is, who is he to rule on what is true Islam and what is a perversion of it? The Quran is a record of Muhammad's battles. By contrast, Christian scripture says nothing of the battles and decapitations conducted by the Jewish carpenter from Nazareth. Likewise, the battles in Chumash are not even described, they're just mentioned. So secondary are they. Moses and Joshua and Aaron are leaders, but not for the number of men they kill. Worse, out of Obama's mouth, was the statement, quote, "We have to address the grievances that terrorists exploit. When there are no outlets by which people can express their opinions or concerns, resentments fester. The international community has to offer something better. When governments oppress their people, it sows the seeds of extremism and violence." Close quote. And what I want to know is, what Coptic government ever denied Muslims freedom to express their concerns so as to motivate some of them to cut off the heads of cops looking for work and trying to feed their families? Obama said, quote, "When governments oppress their people, this sows the seeds of extremism and violence." What is he saying here? That the Muslim governments are the oppressors that lead to violent extremism? But if so, why murder a Jew in Copenhagen outside a synagogue with a celebration going on inside? Why murder people in a Jewish museum in Brussels? I think this guy, Obama, in the best, most charitable analysis, is not only not the smartest guy in the room, but of a distinctly inferior intelligence, which may explain why the smartest guy in the room never released his college transcripts, presumably sporting all over the place one A after another. And in the least charitable analysis, which I favor, he's a president who sees his role as making safe America for Muslims, bringing thousands and thousands of them into the country, and getting Americans to think well of Islam. But of course, this is not the job description of the President of the United States, is it? In this vein, memory.org yesterday posted a special dispatch number 5967, if you want to access it, which reports on Egypt's response to Obama's White House reception for Muslim brothers on January 27th. The Egyptians, the Saudis are furious. And ironically, the reports on that meeting in the Egyptian Mubarak came out 4 days later, when at Arish, jihadis massacred the 31 Egyptian personnel. Egypt accused the Obama government of disrespecting Egyptian law by meeting with the Muslim Brotherhood, that is an outlawed organization in Egypt. Not that I think Obama cares. He's obsessed with Israel and backing our mortal enemies. That's all he cares about. And if the governments in Egypt and Saudi Arabia are opposed, he doesn't care.
Mizmor le David, Hashem roi lo echzar, bin od deshe yarbitzeini, al mei menuchot yinaleini. Nafshi yeshover yancheni, gmag letzedek leman shmo, gam ki elech begeitz al mavet lo yirara. אתה עימדי שבטך ומשנתך המה ינחמוני תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צורריי נשנת בשמן ראשי כוסי רוויה אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים אורך ימים מזמור לדוד השם רואי לא אחסר בין עוד דשא ירביצני על מי מנוחות ינעלני שישובב ינחני במעגלי צדק למען שמו גם כי ילך בגיץ על מוות לא עיר הרע כי אתה עימדי כי אתה עימדי שמן ראשי כוסי רוויה אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים לאורך ימים
Okay, that's it for this last night of the week. It's another major snowstorm blanketing the high ground where we live here in the hills of Judea and Samaria. Life promises to be paralyzed tomorrow, but so long as we don't lose electricity, we'll manage. Okay, that's it until after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Shabbat Shalom, V'Laila Tov, from a snowy Eretz Yisrael.